Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter 35. Job chapter 35. Seemed like I did pretty good this morning in Sunday school as far as the drainage issue, but now it's kicked in a little bit. But I'm hoping what I have in my mouth will help me. So y'all pray for me. I do have a little bit of an issue with sinus, it seems. And I hate to always be bothering you all with having to cough and carry on. But you're an understanding people, though. I know you all appreciate and pray for me about that. Job chapter 35, and I want to take the liberty this morning to read verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11 of Job chapter 35. I'm speaking this morning on the subject, the gift of night songs. The gift of night songs. Now, look with me, please, at verse number 10. But none saith, where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night? So we note here that he giveth songs in the night. And we can derive from that the simple point, the gift of night songs, as he giveth. And so it is a gift. Look at verse number 11. Who teacheth us also, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven, shall we pray. Father, thank you today for the passage of scripture that we've read. Thank you this morning for the music, the choir, the special music. And now, Heavenly Father, I would pray that you might direct my thoughts today, and may this message this morning pierce the hearts of those that perhaps are listening, Facebook, YouTube, maybe even here in the service, that have never come to the realization of their sin condition and placed their trust in Christ's full provision on them on the cross. So, Father, if there's someone listening this morning that does not know the Lord, may they be saved today. Now, Lord, help us all as we think of this subject, the idea of night songs. Help us to understand that among the many other things that you give us, you do give us the ability to sing even in the nighttime. So, Lord, bless the message today to the comfort of people's hearts. Encourage those today that perhaps are a little bit downcast, discouraged, and maybe confused about things that are going on. I just pray that you'd see fit today to use the message to encourage your people, and may more than anything else, your son receive the glory from the preaching. We ask this in his name. Amen. Well, as everyone knows, we just finished celebrating Thanksgiving. And I'm sure that every single one of you, your families, as you met together Thanksgiving Day with a table spread with all kinds of dainty food, Thanksgiving meal before you, I'm sure that families bowed heads and gave God thanks and praise for God's bountiful blessings, the food that we received. You know, according to the scriptures that I've read, there is still, however, another gift that God gives. This particular gift is usually overlooked. It's not necessarily seen in the category of being a gift. But since the Bible says that he giveth songs in the night, I would conclude from that that even night songs themselves are a gift, are a gift. More people today, myself included, all of us, need to turn to him more for help. We need his guidance. We need his instruction. We need his comfort. We need him during the night seasons of life. We need him during those times that things aren't easy to understand. In fact, things seem to be just rather confusing. Sometimes we don't know what ways to turn. Sometimes we cannot understand what's going on in lives of others around us. The situation in our country, social concerns, the great and grave spiritual issues that we see, political matters. And so many times we wonder, We think, we ponder, what is the solution? Well, I think that all of you certainly know the solution is to always focus our attention on the Lord. The solution's always to learn to depend upon Him. We need, and this has been in the form of many, many sermons, many, many songs, we need to get in the habit of truly laying our burdens on the Lord. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Many people are confused in terms of how God answers, for sometimes I believe that God does get our attention through trials, through sufferings, through night seasons, through times to where we cannot hardly see in the front of our faces. Sometimes it's those times that God really teaches us vital lessons that we cannot learn in the daylight. The sad thing is that unsaved people have to shoulder their own burdens, and they have not the burden bearer that we have. It's a pitiful thing. It's a sad thing to think of going through this world and having to bear the burdens ourselves. I mean, the people of God have enough issues upon our, we have enough things upon ourselves. We have enough concerns ourselves. There's enough trials and burdens and sufferings that go on among the people of God. Can you imagine living in this world the way it is without Christ? And that's exactly where you and I were at one time in our life. You'll notice here when he found in his heart songs, and we see, notice here, he giveth songs in the night as the counselor, so-called, is speaking to Job here, Elihu. When he found in the heart songs, songs are found in the night. As we note here, he giveth songs in the night. And it was a night season in terms of where Job was. It's a night season in terms of where many people are today. But God gives songs in the night. If you study out the context, Elihu here is basically accusing Job of being a hypocrite. He's basically saying to Job, you need to be saying, where's God? Basically, Job, you need to be looking to the Lord. You need to be trusting Him. And Job's friends, they certainly got it all wrong, we know. I mean, they thought he was suffering because of some sins that he had hidden in his life and wouldn't come clean with. But all at the same time, God is working and God is using him. And in the end, we know the last chapter, how it ends. So his so-called friends got it wrong, didn't they? They got it wrong. You know, the lost people in our society, they tend to ask the question, where is God? But yet blinded eyes fail to see his presence. Because blinded eyes match blinded minds that have been blinded by the God of this world. It certainly stands to reason why today there is a lot of confusion in terms of spiritual things in the minds of so many people that are lost without God, because the Bible says their minds are blinded. And so that certainly would stand to reason. Whether he is seen or not seen, his presence is still known. He will never be silenced because he continues to wear the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's so encouraging to know that regardless of how bad things get, dark the things get, God is still on the throne. He's still blessing. He is not removed. He still has the backs of his people. And in the nighttime, he even gives us a song. He gives us a song. The wonderful thing about being truly saved is that we not only know Him, but we know where He is. And we've already found Him as our helper during the night seasons of life. I'm looking in the faces of people here today that know what I'm talking about. You've had your night seasons. May have been a physical issue. We've had tons of our people I know that's had physical issues in hospitals and surgeries and all kinds of other things that's been going on. Could be an emotional issue. It could be a burden this morning, over some kind of an issue that seems to be unsolvable. But night seasons. Could be a night season resulting from communication issues within your family. Disappointments over children. Disappointments coming from other areas, but we could perhaps still pigeonhole those into what we could call a night season. One of God's great provisions is during our night seasons, we still are given songs in the night. We still can rejoice. We still can praise the Lord. We still have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We still know that our Redeemer liveth. We still know that God is able. We can recall, we can look back, and we can remember the numerous times that in our darkest, deepest moment of despair, God was still there. Someone said, in a time of deep dejection, Jesus journeyed by. So my heart was dull and empty, gently asked me why. Then when I had told the problems lovingly, He came, filled Himself the vacant chambers, blessed be His name. Now no more my heart is empty, never more will be filled with Jesus, Jesus only through eternity. Times of dejection, night season, God still gives songs in the night. I think of the New Testament. I think of the book of Acts. I think of Paul and Silas singing those night songs. It's recorded in Acts 16, verse number 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They may have been incarcerated in prison, but they were more than that, most importantly. They were servants of Christ. And that still released their singing. That still gave them joy. I'll tell you, when you're a prisoner of Christ, the bondage places of this world still turn out to be praise centers for the glory of God. So at midnight, they sang praises. I think of Psalm 126. There was a time the children of Israel sang a song after their night season. Because we're told in Psalm 126, verses 1 and 2, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Night songs. Israel cranked up the band, so to speak. Israel went into singing. After the dark days of captivity were over, God gave them songs after the night season. This is a wonderful thought when you think about it. Songs in the night. That's a tender thought. Songs in the night. Many times, we don't feel like singing at night, do we? Many times, that's the wrong season. Nighttime. Of all times. Three things I want to quickly give you this morning concerning night songs. Number one, let's notice the season of the songs. Secondly, let's notice the source of our songs. Then thirdly, let's notice the subject of our songs. The season of our songs. Night season. Night season. That makes them rather strange songs, doesn't it? Night season. You know, most people sing when they're happy. A lot of singing goes on when people are merry. In a festive mood. There's a lot of singing that's going on today in places that you and I would not endorse. Among the world's crowd, in ballrooms and places such as that. So people many times sing in accordance to their environment, to their mood, to the context, to the season. Now when it comes to the people of God, we have a tendency to usually want to hang our harps in the willows when we suffer. No time to sing. No time for harps. Most of the time, we would rather be like the birds who do not mind serenading the morning with singing rather than the night. I spend a lot of time in the woods. Don't spend as much time as I used to, but I do love to get out in the woods and deer hunt. But among the other pleasures is simply watching creation wake up in the morning. Birds start singing, squirrels start scampering through the woods. It just seems like once the sun comes up, the world comes alive. And you can hear the birds really having the time of it with their music. But you know, the music now, let me transition my thought here. The music of this world is hollow. It's hollow and presented during the nighttime of careless living. That's hollow music. Much of singing today is hollow singing. No content. We could talk about the different venues of music. Country music. Or other venues. Another divorce just happened. Someone just left me. I'm in the middle of pulling a drunk. I'm sad. I'm lonely. You know the lyrics. Well, I hope you don't know them too well. I used to know them pretty good. I mean, what is there about that kind of music that has anything to uplift the soul? I used to sing that kind of music myself before God rescued me from a life of sin. But hollow music. But I tell you, transition now to where we are. God's people, we have a song in our hearts. We will one day sing a new song. Much could be said about our music now. Many of us couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but that still doesn't keep the song from going on in our heart. There's still joy, isn't there? I was thinking this morning as Brother Mike and Mike was singing a couple, Charlene and Mike sang those two old songs, and I've commented many times that second one they sang, my goodness, my dad sang that years and years ago. That's an old one for sure. But I think about the music of those old songs. It's been around so many years. But I'll tell you the bottom line in the song that's in our heart, in the substance of the heart of redeemed, is at the base of all of that for God's people. So, the season of the song, he giveth songs in the night. The tough times, the dark times, the difficult times, the times of testing, God still, among the many other gifts he gives us a night song. There was an old guy over in West Virginia when I was a kid. I don't know if he was serious when he said this. Somebody one time asked him, would he sing? And I still wonder, was he real when he made the comment? He said, I only know two songs. He says, one's old Dan Tucker and the other ain't. That's how he put it. The season of our songs, night season. Secondly, the source of our songs. The Bible says, note this again. Who giveth songs? The source. God gives the songs. During our night seasons, we can look up. We can understand while we go through what we go through, it's only temporal. We can do like the psalmist said, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. We can look up and keep singing, can't we? Because God gives that gift the source. He's still on the throne. And the darkest of the days politically and socially, or whatever the cases might be, God is still on the throne. Isaiah lost his friend, the king, but yet Isaiah could still say, well, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. That's good, isn't it? And at the time that his friend died, he still said, I still see the Lord. He's still exalted. He's still lifted up. He's still on the throne. In Asaph, the psalmist put it this way. He said, whom have I in heaven but thee? No wonder today we have night songs, because the source of our songs ever liveth. He's still living. I think of Revelation chapter 4. The first thing that John saw was a throne. And we read, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So the first thing John saw was a throne. Now, let me again say something about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is about thanks for his giving. Put the two words together, right? Thanks for his giving. That's what it is. Thanks for his giving. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. I mean, God gets the credit for the things we enjoy, doesn't he? Now, confession's good for the soul. Especially when you're in church, confession's really good for the soul. Because I'm going on record. I want to say this morning, I'm going to do something maybe some of you won't do. Some of you won't admit. Confession's good for the soul. Well, I ate too much for Thanksgiving. How many of you did? I'm sure that none of you did, but I did. I had a miserable night, Thanksgiving night, trying to sleep after eating all of that food that I could have gotten by with only just a fraction of what I ate. Poor old turkey. Poor old turkey. You know what the turkey, said to the computer, don't you? Google, Google. Y'all knew that, did you? You know what the mother turkey said to her disobedient children? If your father could see you now, he'd turn over his gravy. That gives me an opportunity while you're laughing to suck on this drop a little bit more. The source of our night song, he giveth. He giveth. He's behind every blessing we receive. He daily loads us with benefits, including night music. He blesses us with the ability to enjoy life that he's given, even including creation itself. Today we came to church carrying umbrellas, rain falling to this earth in the form of raindrops, water to meet our thirst needs. And by the way, before we thank God for the bottles of water we bought at Walmart, we better thank God for the water first, hadn't we? Yes, the blessings of God. Creation is a blessing. The gifts of God. We see the master stroke in the morning sky lit up by the rising of the sun. We see the same glorious artist of the universe painting the stroke of the golden hue of the setting sun at eventime. We see the artist's work in the petal of a rose and the wild flowers brightening up the meadow. We don't even have to stretch our imagination to see the goodness of God in the sweet smell of the honeysuckle or the blooming of dogwood, an extra greeting of spring, the blessings of God. Now the foliage of fall and later the bright, white, clean snow that covers the dirty earth, the blessings of God. The source of these blessings He giveth. We see the gentleness of God in the smile of a baby, the sincerity of a child. Carol and I and Carrie went to Boone for Thanksgiving. We went there and spent Thanksgiving Day, had a great meal with my nephew, who has his home there in Boone. And my nephew, before everybody got ready to eat, of course, there was a good-sized crowd there, all his children and their children and all kinds of nephews and nieces and so forth were there. It was a big family. So David, that's his name, he gets up and he basically tries to organize the food line. You that are 65 and older, you go first. So Carol and I jumped up. We just barely made it over 65. I still haven't reached number two back here. He's even older than me. Y'all know who number two is, don't you? This guy right here giggling. Mr. Harless. Anyway, Carrie's standing in line, and I thought this was cute. Some of his cousins, or rather nephews and nieces, were there he'd never met before. Cousins, you're right. This little, beautiful little old blonde-haired girl was standing there in the line behind us. I mean, just as cute as a button. She happened to be David's granddaughter, which would have been Carrie's second or third cousin. Anyway, that little girl was there. Carrie looked at her and said, "Are you 65? She said, "Well, who are you?" He said, "I'm your cousin." She said, "Could I give you a hug?" That was so cute. "Can I give you a hug?" And then constantly she kept coming up. "Could I give you a hug?" For some reason, that little girl really liked my son. But I thought, the blessings of God. God blesses us with kids, doesn't He? Sweet, innocent children. God does that. He giveth. He giveth. The same one that giveth songs in the night gives a host of other blessings, as we've seen. The giver of our song is a giver of every blessing. It's kind of a mockery where Eli said, "None saith, where is God, my maker?" Actually, what Elihu was, what he was actually inferring was that Job needed to spend more time inquiring, saying, "Where's God?" In other words, Job needed to be turning to the Lord more. Eli had Job in mind. But now, you take that question. You take that thought. Where is He? Where is He? We know where He is. Many are saying He's nowhere, but we know He's now here. Same letters, but rearranged a little bit. Many are saying He's nowhere, but no, He's now here. Rearrange the letters. That's what we know. Well, verse number 10. Notice this. Where is God, my maker? My maker. Yes. God breathed in man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He is our maker. Thy hands have made and fashioned me. Psalm 119:73. And oh, we really rejoice that He's not only our maker, but He's our remaker. We're a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We know where our Maker is. We know where our Remaker is. He's not only Maker, but Remaker. So now let me hurry. The season of our songs. He giveth songs in the night. The source of our songs. He giveth. Then finally, this morning, the subject of our songs. He giveth songs in the night. What do we sing? Why do we sing? And when do we sing? We can sing a night song. Night songs. Someone said that one night song is more viable than 50 day songs. Spurgeon said, it's easy to sing when you can read the notes. But I'm talking about being able to sing when you can't read the notes. Being able to sing when you hurt. Being able to sing when it seems like nothing is right. Being able to sing when it seems like you've lost all your friends. Being able to sing when you're lonely, when you're hurting, when you're in despair. Being able to sing when you find yourself without your spouse because God's taken them to glory. Or you find yourself living by yourself, but yet He still giveth songs in the night. Thank God for that. Squire Parson wrote, I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing throughout all eternity. Yes, we sing. We keep singing. We keep the song in our heart because it's God-given. It's another gift. Only the people of God are able to sing in the night season. Only the people of God are still able to smile, to rejoice, to look up during the darkest times of the night. We sing songs of praise. We sing songs of forgiveness. We sing songs of assurance. We sing songs about heaven. We sing songs of thanksgiving. We sing songs of testimony. We sing songs of assurance. We sing out of a heart that's assured. We know whom we have believed. And we know that He, and we're persuaded that He is able to do that which He's committed unto us against that day. Paraphrasing that verse a little bit. We sing songs with assurance. And that makes the music sweeter. Is it a wonderful thing today to know for sure your God's? In other words, God's property. Is it a wonderful thing today to know that you know that you know that you've been redeemed? Songs of assurance. Verse number 11. Who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven. That verse implies an assurance about something. God's the teacher. And God has created us uniquely. Songs of assurance. We sing because we know. Again, I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know, my friend, we're learning in the course of our Christian life. We're learning to love. We're learning to lean. We're learning to listen. And we're longing to see Him more and more. And I think this. I believe that sometimes as time goes on and we get closer to heaven, most of us find ourselves learning to sing even more as we think of Him. What He's done, where He has us, and where He's taken us. Sickness does not strip us from basic knowledge of Him. How many sick and delirious people have perked up when the name of Jesus has been uttered? You know, I think it's like this. And let me illustrate it this way. Sometimes in life, we may get to the place to where our minds are not clear. We cannot think reasonably. Sometimes we may get to the place to where we're tempted even to doubt. And Christians, godly people, can come to places of delusional moments. But you know what, though? It's like this, though. Regardless of where life takes us, God's still the same. Amen. Salvation is just as secure as ever. And it's just like when you go to sleep at night. You fall asleep. You don't die, do you? Well, if you die in your sleep, then that's good, too, because you wake up in heaven as a Christian. But anyway, you fall asleep. You still have life in your body. You still keep breathing. Your heart still keeps beating. The body continues to live. Even when you don't know it, you're sound asleep. But these things are still happening. That kind of reminds me of how it is with life for the Christian. We may come to the place in our life to where life may be a little bit like sleep. In a sense, we may not be aware of a lot that's going all around us, but God is still there. He's still good. We're still in His hands. And as the physical body keeps living, keeps breathing, and so forth, even when there's not an awareness, I'm glad God still is in control, and He's taken over when we're incapable of knowing how to handle life. Songs in the night. I like to suggest, and I've been to many of the bedside of dying saints and watched them spend their last moments upon this earth. And I've seen many of them in a terrible physical strait, hooked up to wires, being monitored, heart being monitored, and in a terrible physical strait due to physical issues. But yet, how many times have I seen that countenance of joy, that peace that passeth all understanding, that ability to smile, that calm assurance, that statement of, I know whose I am, and I know where I'm going. Hey, God gives songs in the night. Sometimes we can't sing them. We can't vocalize them. We can't utter them, but I believe they're there. Due to where life may take us, we may get to the place to where we may be incapable of spouting out the music. It's still there. It's still there. I'm glad that God gives songs in the night, aren't you? He's blessed us, including the gift of night music. And so, I close with this illustration. I have a friend who's now in heaven among so many of my other friends, Denver Blake. I've referenced him many times. One time, Brother Denver was at the Lewisburg State Fair, and his church had a booth set up where they were passing out gospel tracts, and they would lead people to the Lord. And this young girl came by, and Brother Denver led that young lady, girl, to the Lord. Well, she hadn't been gone too long. She left, and she came back. And you know why she came back? She came back, and you ought to hear Brother Denver how he used to tell this. Denver said, she came back to give me some flowers for leading her to Christ. She came back with a flower to thank him for leading her to Christ. And I'd like to just kind of take that this morning and make this application. He's blessed us, including with gifts of night song. We need to come back and, as it were, give to Him the flower of love, of service, and of dedication for what He's done for us. We need to return giving Him the flower of appreciation for what He's done. Thank God for the privilege and the ability to still sing at night. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray this morning you see fit to use this message to help people. Encourage, Lord, your people that are here today. Encourage those that are listening. And Father, if there's someone that does not have a song in the night, an unsaved person, I pray today that they would realize that Jesus loved them, died for them, and they can be saved by trusting Him. So Father, bless now. Bless this invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.